Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do thank you that that song that we sang, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house than a thousand elsewhere. And really, only a true son can sing that. A son in the house can sing that. And that truth echoes. It just reminds me of Jesus, that when he was, when his parents left Jerusalem, how they later on discovered that he wasn't with them and they had to go back and they found him in the temple. And his very words were, when his parents asked, where were you? He said, didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? And Lord, it's amazing to be in your house, Jesus, to spend time with you in intimate worship and just to bless you, Father, not only just to get blessed, but to bless you, Jesus. And so we just thank you for that. Thank you for this time just of worship. And it's great to be with you guys. And I know there's a lot of visitors this morning. It's like our faces changed in the church. Like a lot of our guys are away and a lot of new faces. And it seems like the church is never empty. And it's nice. Well, I should say the building is never empty. But yeah, it's like, and I just encourage this morning, just a thing of, it's like God just wanting to bless us. There's a thing of, as you bless God, he blesses you back. That's just the heart of God. That's just his nature. That's just who he is. And I felt this morning of just God wanting to impart into us something of grabbing a hold of the inheritance, grabbing a hold of that which Christ Jesus has grabbed a hold of you. And I felt this morning just something of that, you know, just reaching for, because I sometimes think we don't really always as, how can I say, what's the word I want to use? Aggressive in the sense that we strive, not in ourselves, but like we pursue something in God. You know, because God's given us an inheritance. You know, our salvation is the beginning. Okay? God, Jesus came that we may have life, yes, but that we have it in abundance. And Jesus is coming one day at church. He's coming with gifts. He's coming with rewards. He's coming with an inheritance. But it's dependent on you how that reward looks. It's not just a case of me getting into heaven. That's not what salvation is about. It's about bringing heaven here. It's bringing the kingdom on earth here and discipling people and ministering to people and getting them saved. There's rewards for us in that. You know, the Bible says that we're going to rule with Christ one day. Have you ever thought about that? We got gifts. We got rewards. It's not just me getting into heaven. And I was just reading in Paul's letter, and I didn't give it to Tony because I haven't got time, so I don't want to labor too much on this scripture, but I'm just reminded of the scripture where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run the race, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Does that sound like someone who's just, I'm running the race just to get to the finish line? No, you run the race as if to win. Okay. Now, we're not competing against each other. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Paul's saying, run fast. You know, when I was at school, I remember you had the athletes and you had the non-athletes. Now, the non-athletes, my wife says she's the one of the non-athletes, but the non-athletes would run just to get to the finish line. And that's talking about the 100 meters, you know. But the athletes would run to win. Okay, there's a difference. And you always knew who were the non-athletes. I mean, they were very clever. They were the academia guys, you know, the library guys, the chess players. And, you know, that wasn't their thing. And I've been reading this, and then Paul says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we are doing it for an imperishable crown. There's an imperishable crown that Christ is going to come back and give you. Now, I know how we think. I mean, I think like, what's with the crown? I'm going to wear a crown on my head, and I'm going to walk around heaven. This is the thoughts that go, but I want you to, I almost feel that God gives us an analogy just to give us understanding. It's a reward. But when I talk about crown, it isn't necessarily going to be something that you just put on your head. I don't think we actually know and understand what that really is going to look like one day. I mean, there's another analogy in Proverbs 12:4. It says, Sorry, not Proverbs 12, 4. There's a, I just want to find it. I think it's Proverbs 12, 4, yes. An excellent wife is a husband's crown. So there's my crown. There's Chad's crown. There's a sense of, when I look at my wife, I don't just look at her as a crown. She's my helpmeet. She's part of me. She fulfills me. There's something in that, that who she is with me here on earth. And there's a completeness in me, in the crown that she is to me. And when God's going to give us a crown, there's going to be something so much more to it than you wearing something on your head. I promise you that. I think it's just the analogy that Jesus gives us, because there probably isn't a description to give you here on earth, because he's got nothing to compare it with. Okay, so we need to understand that. We need to run in such a way to achieve, to grab that crown that Christ has for us, to go for it. And he's going to reward us according to. And so I just want to, this morning I've titled my message, Are We Heirs of an Inheritance or Are We Orphans of Entitlements? And there's a difference. Are we heirs of an inheritance or are we orphans of an entitlement? And there's a difference. You see, the difference is inheritance is something that you are given. Okay? Entitlements is something that you take. God doesn't want to give us something that he wants to give us something as a reward, but you can't take it. And this is the key. And I want to bring this line down as I'm going to share this morning, because I want to open up just certain truths as far as, are you a son in the house or are you an orphan? And I know we know these things, like we're singing about the love of God, how we love you, and we're declaring that to our Father, but there's something that God does deposit in us that we understand something of our sonship in him, that we can love him more accurately, that we can love him in spirit and truth. And there's a difference. And so as we sing this, God, how we love you, there's so much more truth to that as we begin to proclaim it as a son. There's truth that God deposits in our own hearts. And I want to share a testimony. I think Chad raised it. You know, we were talking about testimonies the other day, and Chad says, so what's your testimony? And like Lauren and I are looking, we don't really have much of a testimony. And I listen to people say from drugs, say from this and all this. And I actually never thought about my testimony. I've never gone back, because I don't think I remember you mentioning, actually go and look on your testimony. Go and look back in your years and think about it. Meditate on it. And you know, I started thinking about, because it wasn't just the point where I gave my life to Jesus and I did the sinner's prayer. There was a whole lot of steps that God brought me to get there. And I do have a history. I do have a story to tell. And so I want to just share my story, because I think my story will help us see just something of the truth of that of an orphan versus that of a son. And so I want to share that this morning, just in my testimony. I grew up in King Williamstown in an orphanage. Now, my wife always tells me I better qualify that, because often when I say that, people afterwards look at me and say, oh, shame, you know. Now, I grew up in an orphanage because my mom was a childcare worker, not because I was an orphan, okay? So I just want to put that out there so no one has to look at me all sympathetic after the service. But I grew up in King Williamstown in an orphanage with my parents. And in the orphanage, you had the main facility, okay, that was there. That was made up of different units, and you had a kitchen and all these things. But that was kind of the children's home, okay? Then they also had houses inside around the town. And those houses were made up of probably about average on 12 bedrooms. They were mansions. They were massive houses. And each house had like 10 about 10 kids in a house. And normally they were from 10 to about teenage years, all the group of young guys. And I grew up most of my life, well, most of my teenage life in the children's home, in one of the houses that were there. And the reason they had the houses was to take the kids out of that clinical feel that would be in a children's home. It would be more of a family understanding of home. They would try and incorporate that so the kids don't feel like they're in an institute, okay? And so they would incorporate these kids into a house where you would have a family living there, but with 10 other kids. And that's what I grew up in most of my life. And I must admit, it was the hardest time in my life. And I want to say, I realized then that something like this wasn't a job. It was a calling, because you're living with orphan kids. It's not just a case of adopting a child. You've got 10 orphans. That's something completely different. I mean, I don't know, some of you have adopted kids, and it's not the easiest. And there's something of just teaching them values and love and all of those things. Anyway, but I remember just being in that time of being in the orphanage and living among the kids. And you know, my parents were amazing with these kids. They loved them. They cared for them. They treated them no different to my sister and I who were living in the house. And if you had to walk into the house any time, you wouldn't tell who was the real legitimate child just by looking. Because the way my parents loved them was the same as us. The way they disciplined them was the same as us. And you couldn't tell the difference. And I remember living among these kids and just being with them. But there was always that spirit within them that even though they had all these things, they had the same as us, there was always a striving. There was always a jealousy. There was always an envy of me and my sister, just who we were. And they'd always cut into our conversations. They'd always want what we've got. And even though they had a lot more, sometimes the parents felt guilty and they would give them a lot of money and everything there. And these kids had a lot more than us, but they always wanted what we had. So it wasn't a case of we were better off physically. You know what I mean? It was a case that it was just who we were, that they envied us. And I was just thinking about that. There came a point, and I just remember thinking, yes, what is wrong with you guys? You know? And I was battling with my own teenage insecurities at the time, you know, being just growing through life. And I remember just looking at these kids and thinking, what is wrong with you? You know, the difference was I was a legitimate son. And I mean, biologically, I was the legitimate son in the house. And I never understood them because they weren't. And the spirit within them was just that thing of wrestling and striving. And I remember one day just bursting out with an argument with some of them and saying, what is wrong with you? Why are you always striving? Why do you always want what I want? Why do you always have to be on top? Why do you always have to be the best? And just having this thing. And I wrestled. And I remember just, you know, obviously in my ignorance at that time, being a teenager, you didn't understand all those things. You didn't understand an orphan spirit. You didn't understand what it means to be a legitimate son. But over the years, as I left the children's home, I realized just what these kids were battling with. But that only happened afterwards that I actually realized it. And you know why I'm sharing this, church? It's because, you know, the same way we had a home there, and my parents loved those kids, and if you could sense on an outward appearance, it would look like a home. But yet, that didn't make it a home. You know what the difference was? Those children came in, and they didn't understand that love. They didn't understand, you know, that thing of, hey, you're part of a household. And, you know, it's the same with church. You know, we this is called the household of faith. You know that? We are all called, and we adopted into the kingdom of God. And God brings the lonely into family. That's what church is about. That's what family is about. And I hope that if you've been here, this congregation, you would know that our hearts is always to create family here. It's not about, you know, gifts and ministries. We don't emphasize those things. That is the fruit of one who is a son in the house. But our emphasis is family, relationship. Why do we do what we do? It's family. It's because we love one another, because we care for one another. This is family. But you know, we get people like us in the orphanage. You get people that come into this house and they see the values in the life of the church. They see that we accept them like we accept anybody else. We love them like we love anybody else. We have relationships with them. We spend time with them like everybody else. But there's still that difference. They come in with this wrestling. It's like, I've got to do. I've got to be. I've got to have. And it's something of, you notice with them, because there's that thing of entitlement. The world owes me. And that's what those kids felt. I tell you all the time, they would have that attitude. I'm a victim, which they were, but they felt the world owes me. And the reason I'm sharing that is because I feel to some degree we carry some of that. I remember Andrew shared, all of us in a sense are broken. And in our brokenness, we do carry some sense of that orphan spirit that we can adopt, that we can, excuse the pun, that we can take into our lives. And that thing of comparison, I mean, how many times have you compared with someone else? Think of it. You know, how many times have you looked at someone and think, yes, if I just had what they've got, if God could just bless me like they've been blessed, if my marriage could just look like this marriage, hey? God, if I could just have more, look how you bless them. That's entitlement. And you know what that is? It's an orphan spirit. And you know what? Within us, there's always that striving. There's always that wanting to be better, to have more, to, you know, I'm just not there. And the same restlessness those kids have, we could have that in the life of the church. In fact, we have. I've seen people strive for things, striving for ministry, striving for position, instead of just being a son in the house. You know? And it's something we got to check our hearts constantly. And I just felt this morning, it's just God wanting to just bring a revelation once again, what it means to be adopted, what it means to be a son in the house. You see, the world is an orphan. We rejected the Father. You know that. The world rejected the Father, but God made a way. He sent His Son that He could bring us in to adoption. And Ephesians 2 says, we were once aliens, foreigners, strangers, but God has brought us near through His Son. And God has brought the lonely into family. And I want to share, if you can just go, Tandy, if you can just go to John 1, verses 12. I want you to look at the scripture. It says, but as many that have received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's amazing scripture. I think you can go on. Did I do 13? Okay, sorry. There's 13. Sorry, I didn't. Anyway, it says, so here it says, but as many have received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. Notice that. You know, that's the thing with God. None of you, everyone sitting here, it's not a mistake. Did you know that? Not only are you not a mistake, you might think, well, my parents didn't really plan me. You know? Can I say it doesn't matter whether you're planned or unplanned, you were born out of the will of God, not the will of man. So in a sense, there is a sense in which if we really understood the scripture, we wouldn't need to have an orphan spirit if we received Jesus. Because then it says, those who received Him, to them He gave the right to become sons. But there is, that's why, you know, often people wrestle about this thing of adoption, abortion. Can I say, that scripture settles it. That scripture settles it for me. I want to say, if you've ever had been raped, I can sympathize and say, you know, my heart is for you. It really is. But abortion is not the solution. You know, the will of God. It says you are born because of the will of God. And I want to say, yeah, so our heart is to understand what is God's will. It's His will. It's He created us. It's because of Him. And then it says, to Him we gave the right to become sons, to those who believe Him. Isn't that amazing? God says, okay, because you believe, I'm going to make you a son. And it's the only place in Scripture where I see God giving us a right. Because God doesn't, you know, you know that when we become born again, our rights are gone. In fact, we give up all our rights. But here I see God say, I'm giving you one right. It's a right to become a son. And from that one right, it's like that security, oh, I don't have to do anything. It's just who I am. And it's from that place of who I am that I begin to do. Okay, it's not I try and do to get, you see the difference? And when we come to that place, it's not the striving. I'm not striving because I'm trying to please and I'm trying to get. No, I'm going for this because this is what God's created me for. I'm His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He's prepared in advance that I walk in it. Every single one of us has been given a work by Jesus to walk in. That's something of our sonship. And it's something I go from a place of wholeness. Are you guys with me? Sorry. Now, there's two things I want to make known, just as we're sharing with this thing about sonship. To become a son is that thing of, first of all, it's the work of the cross, okay? And that's what it's about within us. It's the work of the cross unto death, and it's the work of the Spirit unto life. There's two things that have to happen in me, okay, in sonship. It's the thing that I got to die in order that Christ's Spirit might raise me from the dead. Okay? I want us to understand this. This is very important. We have, in order to become a son, I have to actually give up who I think I am and allow God to say who I really am. Because we've got ideas. I think amazing. I'm an amazing guy. I've got all this. So I can do this. But actually, I have to put that thing down and allow God to define me. Because those things are going to end. Do you know that? If your identity is in your beauty, it's going to end. You're going to get old. You're going to get like me. I'm not going to say anybody. You're going to get old. You know? You're physically healthy. You're strong. Your identity can be in your sports. Your identity can be in your education. Let me tell you, as you start getting older, you start forgetting things. Your eyesight, yes. I have to make my text a lot bigger now when I preach. Oh, Chad's the same age. But you start realizing if my identity is in this, I start losing it because it's going to fade away. And it can't be on those things, church. And so it takes faith to actually let go, doesn't it? It's like, God, this is going to be hard, but I'm going to do it because I trust you. Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians 10. I love this. You see, the thing is, this is how we have to die. It's here. It's in the mind that we've got to let go. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what it's saying is you need to take captive. You need to take out the mind of Benny. Okay, that's the first step. The next step is I've got to take the mind of Christ. Now, I want to give you that other scripture, Philippians 2. So this one's taking off the mind, but now taking on the mind. Did I give you that one? Okay. Let this mind, okay, so now I don't have my mind anymore. Now I'm going to take up Christ's mind. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Just keep it on there, please, Tony. So as I was reading the scripture, you know, we all know the scripture that Christ, you know, the amazing thing is we just got to let go of certain things that we identify of who we are. Christ had to give a lot more of himself. He had to give of who he was. He had to give up himself. He never ceased being God, but he gave up of his godly attributes. You know, his omnipotence, his omniscience, all those things. He put that aside. He said, I'm not going to grab a hold. The scripture here says, he didn't consider it robbery. I don't like that version so much. I know ESV and New King James says that. But some of your versions say he didn't grasp. And the difference is he didn't try and hold on. The difference is robbery means it's taken from you. Grasping is something you let go. And so Christ didn't try and hold on to those things, but he let it go. It says that he became man. Can you imagine? We talk about one giant leap for man. Let me tell you, that was an amazing leap, that God came as man. Imagine giving up your Godship, what theologians call about, what do they call it, incommunicable attributes. Those are attributes we don't share with God. So he gave those up. He says, I'm not going to take that because I've got a purpose that the Father's given me. I'm going to lay those things. I'm not going to hold on to them. I'm going to let it go because I want to say, man, I want to be doing what the Father wants me to do. The Father sends Jesus and he comes as man. Imagine that. And it says it didn't even stop there. He didn't just come as man, but he came to be a servant to man. He said, but that's not enough because I've got to go further. I've got to go. And it says that he became obedient to the point of death, where he's willing to die for man. And it wasn't just a normal death. It was death on the cross. It was excruciating pain that he had to do, that he had to go through for you and I. Imagine letting all of that go. And yeah, we've got to argue because if I just do this, it's gonna hurt my pride. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. Really? Are you worried about pride? Are you worried about a fear of man? But let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. So much. Take up the mind of Christ. I know, church, it's hard. I know it's hard to do that. But can I say, when we do that, It's in that death that Christ can raise us up. Okay, but we need to understand this, because if you're not dead, God can't raise you. Have you ever seen a living person being raised from the dead? You know, you're living, so you don't need to. But God, we have to die in order for Christ to raise him up, raise us up. And that's why, like in Romans, I think it's, yeah, let's go to Romans 8. Did I give you that one? Let's go there quickly. See, God has to raise us up in order to do what he's called us to do through us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, okay, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which you cried, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. You see, it's the Spirit of God that raises us up, and he does that through his Son. Sorry, did you get Romans 8:11? Not, okay. Let me quickly read the scripture, because I really feel this just helps us understand. So as we die in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes. Now notice, okay, let me quickly read it. Romans 8:11 says this. Thanks, Demi. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised, oh, you got it, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, this is the amazing thing. As you die, that's not the miracle. Dying to self is sacrifice, it's painful, it's hard, but it's not the miracle. Okay, I've got to die in order for Christ to raise me. This is where the miracle takes place. When you're dead, when you've laid that thing down, that's when the Spirit comes and he brings life to our mortal bodies. You see, and church, that's what I want to say to you this morning. Lay it down. You know, often, you can. Let me tell you, even the elders, we've got to lay things down. Am I right, Chad? We were just sharing now this morning. I had to die in that thing. I had to die in that thing. We've got to constantly do that. I can, and you know what happens is, we think we're dead. And just when we think we're dead, we say, okay, now I can take it up. And God says, no, you're not dead. You're still trying to take it. Remember what I said, entitlements takes. Inheritance is given. The moment I've got to take it again, it's entitlements. I'm an orphan again. I'm thinking like an orphan. But God, it's my right. No, it's not. Because you're dead. Has a dead person got rights? No. Can I say ministry can be an entitlement? And we can lay it down, but God, I'm a good teacher. People need to hear my voice. That's entitlement. Sometimes we want that. We want position. We want people to see us. So I want to take up my ministry. I want to take up this and I want to take up that. Just lay it down. When it's dead, when it's completely dead, that's when Jesus raises it from the dead. Do you really want to see your ministry flowing? Then let Christ kill you first. Die in him first, because then it's going to bring life. And that means laying yourself down. And you know what the security we have in this? I want to quickly go there. If I can find it. I shared on this. Yeah, Isaiah 9:6. Now, remember that time I was sharing about Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Remember that? I was talking about the king and the kingdom. But notice this. It says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son was given. Notice when Jesus was always the Son. Even when he was in heaven, he was the Son. When he came down to earth, he was the Son. His identity. Remember, God gives us the right to become sons. You never lose that. When Isaiah talks about the prophecy, he says, for unto us a son was born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son was given. Notice the son was never born. The son was always there. The child was born. Jesus had to empty himself and he became a child again and he grew up, but he was always the son in the process of that. So when you give up of things, you're going to give up. It's hard. I want to know. I know in myself, it's hard to give up because my identity is attached to that. But God says, but you're a son. That's not going to change. You're a son. Just die. But you're still a son. You'll still be a son when you lay it down. See, that's where my security is. Hey, when I say son, I'm looking at the woman here. I mean daughters as well. Okay, so just put it in the context of who you are. What? Yeah, yeah, we've got other things to get over. The bride of Christ, well, well, the bride being the church. Us, yeah. So it's from that place that the Spirit can raise us from the dead, church. And that scripture in Romans 8:14 that I says, and the children, if we children, okay, so if we are a son, if we see ourselves as a child, if children, then heirs. Okay, that's what the scripture says. If you're children, then heirs. When you think of heirs, what do you think of? Inheritance, don't you? That's what comes to mind. Because the word heirs, it talks about inheritance. Okay, that root word is inherit, but you have to be an heir to inherit. Okay? And you know the amazing thing is, it's not just inheritance. Jesus came to leave us a heritage. Now, inheritance is something that we will inherit one day. It's not, we haven't got it yet, okay? If this was my inheritance, flip. If just Chad is my inheritance. Look, I love the guy. I love him. He's a brother in Christ, and I've got a lekker brother, but this can't all be all to my inheritance. God's given us inheritance. There's inheritance to come, church. But if we're children, then we're heirs, okay? And if he is, there's a heritage. Jesus left us a heritage. The heritage is now. The heritage is, how do we live, church? How do we live as a family? That's part of our heritage. This is what we do. And this is why we do it, because we're a family. And we're all heirs of the promises. And we're all sharing in the heritage of who God is. And yes, that thing isn't fully realized. But when his kingdom comes, it will be fully realized on earth. And it's going to be for us. And we're going to say, yes, Jesus, here we are. This is what we've been doing. We've been living as your family from this time. And he says, well done. Here's your inheritance that's to come. And now it's yours now. Isn't that amazing, hey? God's got inheritance for us, church. We need to see that. We need to have that in our sights. Because otherwise, you're not going to be running this race as if to win. I want to close. But I want to close in the sense that we can identify this morning with what I shared. I want the Holy Spirit to come. And just, I want to quickly find this as I close. I have a scripture that I really feel, that scripture in Romans 8, verse 14 to 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits. Not Chad, not Benny, not Bob, not the leaders. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit. I can preach about sonship, hey, but the Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you're a son. He's the one who convicts you. He's the one who makes it real. God, I know I'm a son. You've just settled this in my heart. This fear of trying to strive, this fear of trying to do this and that, this fear of entitlement, this wanting entitlements, all of that, I'm laying it down because you've just secured me right now. And it's a conviction. It's something I live day to day. It's something I can walk in. Something I can live in. I don't have to be an orphan. I don't have to. But it's the Holy Spirit that comes and does that work in me. And so this morning, I want to say, if that's you, if you know that you could witness with some of the things that I've been saying, that you've still got that element of orphan spirit, that thing of entitlements, of trying to grab, lay it down this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to come and affirm you this morning of your sonship. And you know, it's in that you can lay it down. That thing of dying, that the Spirit can raise you up. And I'm reminded of Jesus just at the work of the baptism of Christ. You remember that story when he was baptized in Matthew 3:16? It says that when Jesus came up out of the waters, it says the heavens opened. Okay, and then it says the Spirit came down like a dove, and it says, and this is the Father speaking to the Son, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. You know, Jesus hadn't done anything then, no miracle, no nothing. He was just be baptized, and it's like the Father just opened the heavens. He just tore it open, and he witnessed with the Son, and I feel God wanting to do that this morning. God needs to affirm some of us because we're living like orphans. We're living like we have no father. But God has to do that, church. Before you can walk in the fullness that God has for you, before you can inherit, you need to understand that you're there. And God tears open the heavens. Sometimes he tears open those things in our lives that block that. And it's like that thing of you, that thing of insecurity, he wants to tear it open. That thing of pride, he wants to tear it open. That thing of entitlements, he wants to tear it open that he can come and affirm you. It's not because of who you are, but it's because of what God wants to define in you. And when he said, "This is my son," he was talking about Jesus' identity. And when God comes and he says, "My son, Retief, David, whoever, Bob, Orchid, my son," that's identity that he wants to come and put into you. "Whom I love," that's his affection. He wants to come and just bring that affection, that love of securing you. "With whom I'm well pleased." And that's his affirmation, coming and affirming us. God wants to affirm us. And again, he's not going to affirm you because of who you are. He's going to affirm you just because of who he is. "You, my son, I'm well pleased." And this morning, it's just laying it down at his feet this morning. As we just had worship, maybe, good, Chad. Just in this place of worship, maybe just Chad can just put a song on, play a song for us. But I want us to just quieten our hearts, because maybe you can witness with what I'm sharing here. Maybe there's things in your life that you haven't laid down, that God can raise it up through his Spirit, that he can raise you up through his Spirit and affirm you as a son this morning. And if that's you, maybe, I don't want to say this is how it must look, because I believe, the Holy Spirit does that. He witnesses with us. But maybe it is that you come to the front, because sometimes coming to the front is a denying of self. You don't do it because we need the numbers, yeah? You do it because you want to die. Well, maybe it's just sitting at your feet and just laying it before the Father where you are. Maybe it's kneeling. But this morning, I want you to lay at the feet of Jesus, to lay it down that he can come and just affirm and secure you in who you are, who he is in you. So Father, I want to pray this morning as we just allow you, Holy Spirit, to come and witness with us. Father, I want to pray where there's elements of self, Lord, of an orphan spirit that wants to take a hold of things, Lord, that wants to grasp, that yearns, and just a restlessness within us. I want to pray that, Lord, that you would come and that we would just lay it down at your feet, Lord. Because we know that you wanting to come and affirm this morning, Lord. You wanting to come and just establish yourself within us, Lord. You want to come and affirm our sonship with your love and your affirmations. So Holy Spirit, won't you come and just affirm us this morning? We love you, Jesus. But Lord, I pray that as we sing that, it would be from a place that it's the Father crying out within us that bears witness with our spirits as sons. Because Lord, true worship will come from that place as a son, as we worship you as a father. So come and do that work right now, Holy Spirit. I pray that every heart would respond to you. No one will hold back. Come, Jesus.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear.